Good morning. It's Sunday, February 4th, 2018. As our manner is, we'll start with an update of our week and Larry's continuing progress. At the invitation of Larry's speech pathologist, we mentioned to you she invited us to her speech therapy class that she teaches at St. Mary's College near Notre Dame. We went there this past Tuesday to present our pre- and post-op stroke experiences, particularly with the way they relate to the physical therapies that we have received. The intent of our testimony was to inspire the class in this chosen profession by way of us telling them our personal benefits from speech therapy, particularly. Of course, everything we personally encounter in life is through the reality that we are beloved ones, so we certainly could not exclude mentions of God, mentions of prayer, mentions of His working within us. The class was excited to receive us, and at the end, several wanted our website information, and I had taken Larry's book also, and they wanted information about that. So it was a really great, profitable time. It was actually a lot of fun. We also mentioned last week that we were seeking a second opinion for alternate treatments for tremors that Larry has been experiencing. We brought a Christian herbalist into our loop, and he recommended that we do a little more research and evaluation of the side effects of some of the medications Larry was on. He is on three, and in doing that research, I found that all three of his medications have tremor side effects. So, in dealing with people and ministering to people, counseling, we never tell people to stop their medications that have been directed so by the doctors. So we too live by what we teach, and we do not, we are not stopping his medication, but we are definitely have an appointment to go back to the doctor, lining up some healthy alternatives that would provide the anti-stroke situation. And we'll go back and see if we can trade some of those things out. I'm really excited about this week's teaching. I'm going to provide a lot of food for thought. We're going to look at God's connection within us, that gift of Holy Spirit, because it plays an ever so critical role in the biblical path to godly change. Most of us have in-depth biblical knowledge, that is for sure. And especially about being born again. It's part of our foundation. We know the associated Greek words and their English definitions referring to the gift of Holy Spirit that dwells with everyone who has believed and confessed Romans 10, 9, and 10. The scriptures give a lot of information about the gift of Holy Spirit, along with instruction on the work of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus spoke to his apostles, and he said this, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, until ye be endued with power from on high." Then the scripture says, Jesus led them to Bethany, blessed them, and he was taken up into heaven. Then we pick it up in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. It reads, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And in verse 8, he describes it this way, "But ye shall receive power." A little more information. Not only are you going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So come upon you is, it literally is describing the Holy Spirit descending and operating within us. So come upon you, it doesn't mean it's going to rest on us, because this is an indwelling gift. So when the Holy Spirit descended on the day of Pentecost, it went into operation within those apostles. In Acts 2, verse 1, we can read about it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. It, you know, it's such a simple instruction that Jesus gave them. They believed him. They did as he instructed. And the outcome was just as he described. And that is the way it should be for us in our lives. We get instruction from the Word. We believe it. We trust it. We follow it. And we are not supposed to be disappointed in our expectation. The outcome should be the quality that God describes in his Word. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And in verse 4 it says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the words just tumbled out of their mouths. No, it says as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I just love meditating on these biblical records like this. The apostles had been through so much with Jesus. They were up one day and down the next, over here, over there. Jesus was definitely the shepherd herding these sheep. But they loved him, and they followed him, and they trusted him. And as much as was within them, they were loyal. He gave them instructions to follow, and he disappeared into the heavens. So they simply band together. They obeyed his words. They waited, like he told them to do. They tarried in Jerusalem. They trusted his words, obviously, because they followed what he said. And then when that time arrived that Jesus spoke of, which they knew not, boom, cloven tongues as a fire set up on each one of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit gave them utterance. That is the reality of it. The Spirit supplied the words. They didn't come from the minds of the apostles. And I know that there are tons of videos out there on YouTube and other sources where they have hooked up mental registers to the brain, and they have had people speak in tongues. And that speaking in tongues does come from a totally different part of the brain than does our normal everyday conversation. So even scientifically, speaking in tongues has proven to be an utterance from somewhere other than man's natural mind. So that's always real exciting. I enjoy seeing some of those videos. And of course, as the record in Acts 2 continued, those gathered for Pentecost from faraway countries, they began to understand in their own language and even their own dialects. The apostles were speaking wonderful works of God. You know, what a moment that must have been when you just pause and kind of replay that whole scenario in your mind as you would watch, say, a movie taking place. These apostles had been disciples of Christ, but before the day of Pentecost, they were not born again. So even though they had been disciples, even though they had walked with Jesus, they were now brand new on the inside. They were different. They had the Holy Spirit residing within them. And the first thing these brand new believers did after receiving the gift of Holy Spirit was they spoke in tongues the wonderful works of God. And when you think about it, what's the first thing a baby does upon entering the world? The baby feeds. He eats. It is the same in the new birth. The first thing this new life within us needs is a good feeding. Clearly, speaking in tongues is the spiritual food for that new life within us. So ideally, a person gets born again, they receive the gift of Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues much to feed this new creation, and it allows it to perform vibrantly. That is why I love reminding myself and you, if the case might be, that every coming second is a fresh start. If we have spent years or days or even half of a day starving the spirit inside ourselves, there's no problem. Just start. Start right now. It's a new time. It's a new beginning for that life that is within. Really, the only problem speaking tongues is going to cause is a heap of confusion that it will sow in the evil spirit realm. Because it is that perfect prayer. It is that lever of prayer. The Holy Spirit provides us that perfect communication link between our spirit and God, and vice versa. It's communication. Communication is two-way. God to us to God. Where it speaks those divine mysteries, those secrets, that commune, where we commune between us and our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is His gift to and in us. And its utilization is really subject to the freedom of our will. We'll never be able to get away from that. It all works by the freedom of our will. God does not possess or make or force anything. It is here. Here are the choices, and then He so lovingly tells us, choose life and blessings. So, if in receiving this gift, we can find out more about the gift, we can master its use, enjoy the benefits of the gift, or we can act as though it is non-existent. Knowing the gift is there, believing that we're born again of God's Spirit, knowing it's there is not automatic. So going back to Jesus speaking to His apostles, He said another very important part, that after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. So what happens when we feed the Holy Spirit by speaking in tongues? Logically, we build that spiritual power within us. Acts 19 says of the Apostle Paul in verse 11, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So this is the power that was even communicated through His garments. Back in verse 10, it says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." Now, this is why I think this is so unique, because it reminds me that in 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul says, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all." I have to think there is a correlation there. Look at the mighty things that the Apostle Paul did. And then we think about the horrendous state of Peter following his denials of Jesus. That poor man had to feel so guilty. He had to be miserable, afraid. After all, here he was, sneaking around, trying to catch glimpses of Jesus. And then Jesus was gone, and he must have felt so alone and so unprepared and fearful and vulnerable. But bless Peter's heart, he hung in there. He was there for the ascension. He was there for the day of Pentecost. He was a faithful disciple in the end because he listened to the instructions of the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. And on the day of Pentecost, after the Holy Ghost came upon him, he and the other disciples received what? They received power. In Acts 2, in rapid succession, we read that Peter received the power from on high. He spoke in tongues, and he stood up and fearlessly delivered a sermon that he closed by leading about 3,000 souls to the Lord. That is an example of the workings of the Holy Spirit working in beloved ones. And you know, you consider our Lord, whose garment's outer edge was the total destination of a woman with an issue of blood for 12 years. This poor woman had spent all of her money. She went to every physician she heard of and was none the better. But when she touched the hem of his garment, at the same time Jesus felt dunamis go out from himself, the woman was delivered of this 12-year-old issue of blood. And that dunamis, it's talking about a power residing in us by virtue of its nature. Well, it is the power of God that is within us. That is the virtue of its nature. Other records record that multitudes sought to touch the hem of his garment, Jesus' garment, and they were made perfectly whole. Well, Jesus told his disciples, his apostles, his disciples, John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now, the word works here refers to work done at the bidding and by the aid of the Father. So, these works aren't, you know, I'm sitting at home one day and I'm thinking, gee, what could I do? Well, I think I'll go and do this. Well, the works, and that might be fine to go and do those things that day. But the real works that Jesus is talking about here is the work that's done at the bidding and by the aid of the Father. We have his power within us, and we have the working of the Holy Spirit within us to communicate back and forth between us and our Heavenly Father that work that would be at his bidding. And then that communication that goes to our spirit communicates to our fleshly and earthly minds, and our minds are able to work it with the word and perform by the aid of the Father and bring works to pass. In the Old Testament, even with the Spirit of God upon Moses, there's a record in Numbers 16:28. Moses told the children of Israel, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works. For I have not done them of mine own mind." It's the work of the Holy Spirit. The will of God is to work with us acts of love and light stemming from His very nature. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit is within us. I know so many times beloved ones wonder what the Father would have them do with their lives. Well, I would encourage all of us to follow this diet. Of course, physical foods nourish our physical bodies. It says man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We do eat physical food to keep our bodies running well, to keep them healthy. But then we feast upon the Word of God. The Word of God feeds our minds in order to nourish our hearts, from where all of the issues of our life proceed. Then we speak in tongues much to feed the Holy Spirit that God created within us. The new man within needs to be built up, needs to be strengthened. And if the new man is in a malnourished state, speaking in tongues will awaken and revive that spirit. So we focus on feeding the threefold being, the person of body, of soul, and of spirit, and we feed it along those lines. Among all the desired changes beloved ones might have, and there are many, and they're very serious, and they're very logical, they're sensible changes that we desire to make. But I will tell you this, one taste of doing the works of Jesus Christ would change our taste buds considerably. As we live our lives in harmony with God's enlightening word, with His loving fellowship, all our cares and concerns will respond. They will respond to that. And it's actually works from within, like we talked a few weeks ago, like the moth to the butterfly. We will self-correct from the inside out through the energizing of the Holy Spirit. You know, what an exciting subject, the work of the Holy Spirit. And there is certainly more to come with this topic, but my desire today is that this stimulates your appetite to give the fundamentals a new and fresh look. Not so much looking at it as so many numbered benefits of speaking in tongues or I've got Christ in me, the hope of glory, but ponder, meditate, what do these things mean? Why are they important to God? Why did He give us the gift of Holy Spirit? How does it work? There are so many beautiful things in the Word that help us with this. So it's definitely an exciting subject, the work of the Holy Spirit. And there is more to come with this topic. So God bless you and have a wonderful week. Love you.